From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Judges, Dr. Cairns is focusing on one of the most famous of the judges, Samson. In this colorful character, the Bible teaches us many important lessons, both positive and negative. The text in Judges 13:25 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times." Samson was one of the few judges of whom it is written that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. As Dr. Cairns will show, Samson was at once one of the strongest men and yet the weakest of men. First of all, we'll see that the source of Samson's power was the Holy Spirit. It is impossible to serve God without the Holy Spirit. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will commence a message entitled, Samson, a Witness and a Warning. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. Today's text is found in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace, not in one grace only, but in all grace. Grow in that root grace, faith. Believe the promises more firmly than you have done. Let faith increase in fullness, constancy, simplicity. Grow also in love. Ask that your love may become extended, more intense, more practical, influencing every thought, word, and deed. Grow likewise in humility. Seek to lie very low, and know more of your own nothingness. As you grow downward in humility, seek also to grow upward, having nearer approaches to God in prayer and more intimate fellowship with Jesus. May God the Holy Spirit enable you to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. He who grows not in the knowledge of Jesus refuses to be blessed. To know him is life eternal, and to advance in the knowledge of him is to increase in happiness. He who does not long to know more of Christ knows nothing of him yet. Whoever hath sipped this wine will thirst for more, for although Christ doth satisfy, yet it is such a satisfaction that the appetite is not cloyed, but whetted. If you know the love of Jesus, as the heart panteth for the water brooks, so will you pant for deeper draughts of his love. If you do not desire to know him better, then you love him not. For love always cries, nearer, nearer. Absence from Christ is hell, but the presence of Jesus is heaven. Rest not then content without an increasing acquaintance with Jesus. Seek to know more of him in his divine nature, in his human relationship, in his finished work, in his death, in his resurrection, in his present glorious intercession, and in his future royal advent. Abide hard by the cross, and search the mystery of his wounds. An increase of love to Jesus, and a more perfect apprehension of his love to us, is one of the best tests of growth in grace.
Give your heart to Jesus Christ, and he will guide you through your life, for he wants you to know he loves you so. He gave his life for you, so if you give Jesus Christ, and he will guide you through your life, for he wants you to know he Jesus loves you, and He will guide you through your life, for He wants you to know He loves you so. He gave His life for you to know His peace.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
Turning back in the book of Judges this evening to the story of Samson, and we're going to read some verses in chapter 14. Actually, we'll start at the finishing verse of chapter 13, read into chapter 14, the first 9 verses, and then we'll skip over into chapter 16. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines, And he came up and told his father and his mother, and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. We'll turn over now to chapter 16. In the meantime, Samson's proposed marriage has fallen through. His wife has been given to another. He has wreaked his vengeance upon the Philistines. He has fallen into deep sin in the house of a harlot in Gaza. He has now taken up with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. She enticed him to tell the secret of his strength. After a few false statements, then we have in verse 15 these words. She said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lies. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak, and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered themselves for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice. For they said, Our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, Our God hath delivered him into our hands, our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. It came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and in which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading of his word for his name's sake. I want to base all that we have to say tonight on the entire biblical narrative of Samson's life, but we will take as a starting point and text the words of verse 25 of chapter 13. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Samson is an enigma. He was the strongest of men, and yet he was the weakest of men. He gave the greatest promise of all the children of Israel and their judges, but his performance was more limited probably than any other judge of Israel. No judge of Israel ever did such works as Samson did, and yet no judge of Israel accomplished less in terms of overall impact and ministry to the nation than Samson did. Unlike the rest of the judges who were called as mature men, he was called from before his birth, set aside from his mother's womb to be a Nazarite, a servant of the Lord who would judge and lead the people of God. He came on the scene with greater hopes of doing a work for God than any other judge of Israel, but he left with the greatest shadow of failure over his life. Such a deep shadow indeed that to this day, as we see as we progress, even eminent Bible teachers can see nothing of the light. They can seemingly still see only the darkness of the defeat of Samson's life. In Samson, we see the heights to which a man of God can soar. But at the same time, in Samson, we see the depths to which a man of God can sink. He's an example to us all, both for good and for ill. At the same time, he is a witness and a warning. As I was pondering these chapters of God's word, I thought, if I were able to find the grave of Samson and raise a headstone on that grave, I think I might well write, here lies a man whose folly turned victory into defeat and whose faith turned defeat into victory. I want us to consider Samson. Life in the Spirit and out of it. And as we consider this, I simply want to highlight certain aspects of Samson's power. The one thing that stands out about Samson more than anything else is his power or his strength. First of all, we will emphasize the source of Samson's power. And in this he is to us a witness and an example for good. We have read tonight that the Spirit of the Lord began to move him. In chapter 14 and verse 6 we read that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. In chapter 14 and verse 19, again we read, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In chapter 15 and in verse 14, we have this statement, when he came unto Lehi, the Philistine shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burned with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. The source of Samson's power. We were just talking before we come into the meeting tonight. Dr. Gingery said to Dr. Barrett, I don't think that Samson was a very big, strong, muscular man. Of course, all the artistic impressions of Samson make him that. And I can't really say what he looked like. He certainly lived in a time when people's lives were lived in the out-of-doors, and of no doubt that he was physically fit. But there's nothing in Scripture to say that there was any reason to consider that he was any bigger, any brawnier, any fitter than any other man of his day. Certainly when the Philistines looked at him, they thought there must be some secret to his strength, because there's nothing apparent that sets him apart from other men. The secret and the source of this man's power was the mighty Spirit of God in all his fullness. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson as he set out to do the work to which the Lord had called him, as he set out to do battle for God, as he set out to exalt the name of Jehovah and to loose the bands of satanic bondage from off his people. The Spirit of God came upon him. That was the source of his power. I like to emphasize that as we start to consider Samson's life story. His power did not consist in a well-oiled military machine. Though, mind you, I think if Samson had done his duty as a judge, he would have got together an army for Israel. But that's another story. His power did not consist in anything that the hand or mind of man had devised. It consisted in a supernatural experience of the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. You and I, and the Church of God generally, are called in the spiritual realm to do the very work to which Samson was called in the physical realm. We are called to do battle. Now I realize that that is not a very popular theme today. Only a bigoted Bible-thumping sort of backward fundamentalist would believe in doing battle. In fact, many of the major denominations, when they have come to rewrite their hymn books, have deliberately left out all those of a martial or military nature. The Church's mission is the mission of peace. Peace with the Antichrist, peace with the devil, and enmity with God. That is the mission of the modern ecumenical, apostate, unbiblical church. They're at peace with everybody except peace with God. And so they cut out all the military music, all the martial words from the hymn books. And of course, when you look at the wimps they have in the pulpit, you can understand how they got there. Men who believe nothing and therefore stand for nothing. But I tell you that the Church of Jesus Christ, and I'm not now talking about Christendom at large, I'm not now talking about that great conglomeration, what John called the cage of every unclean bird that passes as the church. I'm talking about God's blood-bought, separated people. That church is called to warfare, to battle, to confront the furies and the forces of hell on earth, to go into the strongholds of the devil, to liberate the souls of men, to inflict great damage in the cause of Satan. We are called to that battle. And I tell you, my friend, the only source of power is the fullness of the Spirit of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.